I'm Capria Johnson, and you are listening to the Leadership Podcast, where we delve into the stories, strategies, and insights of experienced leaders who have successfully navigated the challenges and triumphs of their journey. Get ready to be inspired, equipped, and empowered to lead with confidence and purpose. Hello, and thank you for joining us for another edition of the Leadership Podcast. Today, we have Dr. Melnick, who's going to be speaking with us about taking care of yourself so you can take better care of your team. Dr. Melnick, thank you so much for joining us. Please introduce yourself, and perhaps you can share your initial reaction on this month's focus.
I'm so excited to join you today. I left sunny Arizona 12 years ago to come to Buckeye Nation in a very pioneering leadership role that I actually pitched to our former president. I always say evidence plus emotion is the best negotiation recipe. And that's what I was able to do when I pitched this dream of becoming the first chief wellness officer at a university in the country.
Wow, that is amazing and fantastic. I don't even think that I knew that history. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, you have a wealth of experience. And one of the things that I want to focus on is in the context of leadership, why would you say self-care is so important? Like, how does taking care of oneself directly impact one's ability to lead and support a team effectively?
Self-care is so tremendously important for leaders so that they will be fully engaged and productive in their work with their teams. Sadly, so many leaders do a great job caring for everybody else, but they don't do often a really good job caring for themselves. It is what I call character building to block time during the week for good self-care. But once we really understand that self-care is not a nicety, it's a necessity. Again, for us to be physically and mentally well, for us to have the energy to do our jobs to our fullest extent. In addition, we as leaders must walk the talk. If we don't role model healthy behaviors for our organization, our team, and if we don't support cultures of well-being that make healthy lifestyle behaviors the norm in our organization, our people are not likely to engage in them as well. So bottom line, self-care is the foundation for leadership success.
Wellness being thought of as a nicety instead of a necessity. I mean, I think I've seen that over and over again. It's kind of a second thought, this idea of self-care. So it does kind of lead me into my next question. Many leaders tend to prioritize their team's needs over their own. What are some signs that a leader may be neglecting their own well-being, and what can they do to address this?
There are many signs that a leader may be neglecting their own well-being. So those signs are obvious to people around leaders because they see leaders on their emails at 4:30 or 5 a.m., at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, or they see leaders jam-packing their days, one meeting after another after another. A key tip that I give to leaders is, for one, try to avoid sending your team emails at these off work hours, because if somebody gets an email from you at 10 o'clock at night, they might feel obligated to respond. That is super important. Another great thing to do is to cut your meeting times. Instead of 60-minute meetings, only do 45 to 50-minute meetings so you and your people will have 10 to 15 minutes of what I call recovery time to take a quick walk, do some jumping jacks, and do a little mindful meditation. Again, people often do what we as leaders do, so we've got to walk the talk. But your team will be able to tell if you are overworked, not taking good self-care, because they will begin to see signs of burnout, exhaustion, irritability, beginning to detach a bit. Burnout rates have soared across the United States. National studies have shown burnout rates between 50 to 70%. It is so important we as leaders recognize whether we are burning out. Just to answer this particular question, on a scale of 0 to 10, meaning I'm not burned out at all, to 10 being I'm really burnt out, level of burnout right now. If you're moving into the 6, 7, 8 category, that's a red flag. That should be telling you, I've got to prioritize my own self-care. If you don't, that burnout is going to interfere with your functioning, your performance, and it will adversely affect your team. So getting back to shortening meetings again or canceling them, recent research has shown a decrease in meetings by 40% yields an increase in productivity by 70%. Again, it's not a weakness to say, I'm burning out. I need more time for self-care. I may need a coach to help me figure out how I can do a better job of taking good self-care. When a plane's oxygen mask fall down, what are we told? Put the mask on ourselves first before we put them on our children. The same concept applies to leaders. We've got to take good self-care to be more engaged, productive, and to really facilitate well-being in our teams.
It's just interesting thinking of it in that way that, you know, something that's happening internally for me can externally impact my entire team. I think if your leader is stressed, like you said, absolutely that plays a role and that will impact the team, the morale, the feeling of the team. Those are really important points to make. Can you share practical self-care strategies or routines that busy leaders can incorporate into their daily lives to ensure they maintain a healthy work-life balance and stay resilient?
I already suggested some great self-care strategies or routines in answering my prior question, but I'm going to add a few more. Vitamin G or gratitude is one of the simplest evidence-based practices that you could develop and put into action every day to feel an improvement in not only your mood, but your team's mood. Again, I would role model healthy behaviors for your team. Do wellness walks or mindfulness moments with your team. Have walking meetings instead of sitting meetings. Sitting is one of the biggest zappers of our energy. It also increases prolonged sitting, our cardiovascular risk. Bottom line, as leaders, we have got to block time during the workday to actually take a brisk walk, have a little recovery time, stand more, sit less. But again, it is not a weakness to say, I'm burning out. I need to take better self-care. What a fabulous message, and what transparency to your team to share the fact that I notice I'm burning out a little bit. So you're going to see me blocking in some time for self-care during the day. Again, your actions will lead to other people benefiting from those actions in their own lives too. I finally want to say, we as leaders, we're often enthusiastic about so many things. We often say yes, and then we will kill ourselves trying to follow through with what we committed to. I had this issue for many years in my career, saying yes to about anything I was asked. At one point in time, my good friend said, "We're going to make you a button that says, 'My lips say yes, but I really mean no.'" We've got to learn to say no without guilt. Worry about the future, guilt about the past are the two most wasted emotions. If we want to enjoy life more, be more fully engaged, we also have to learn and practice living in the present moment. Lastly, as a leader, continue to engage in things that are meaningful to you, that bring you joy. Those things are often taken off of our plates because of all the responsibility we have as leaders. But again, if we're not engaging in things that bring us joy or meaning on a regular basis, The probability of us burning out is great, and that's going to have an adverse impact on our teams.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was one of I received that piece of advice a little while ago about shortening meetings to 50 minutes or 45 minutes, and it was life-changing because what would happen when I would have an hour meeting is that okay, it would go over 5 or 10 minutes. I couldn't even, I had to run to the next meeting, right? I had to run to the next conference room. So I would never get a break. I mean, not even to, take a sip of water. And then when you move those meetings to 45 minutes or 50 minutes, it's amazing because people actually finish in 45 minutes or 50 minutes, right? They don't feel the need to fill up the full 60-minute time frame. And so that has been really nice to actually have 10 minutes in between meetings. It's amazing what you can do with those 10 minutes. I go outside, I get a couple of rays of sun, I get a couple of, a little bit of water, have a chance to just take a walk around the block. Play with the puppy for a little bit. It's nice. So I think that's really great advice. And I didn't know this statistic about a decrease in meeting by 40% leads to an increase in productivity by 70%. I mean, that's amazing.
It's amazing. And if you make them standing meetings instead of sitting meetings,
Oh,
you'll
wow.
get through them even faster.
Well, we're coming to a close, and I'm going to ask maybe two more questions. The next one is how can leaders create a culture of self-care within their teams and organizations? And what role does this play in overall team well-being and productivity?
Leaders need to create a culture of self-care within their teams and organizations. I always say culture eats strategy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You've got to create a culture that makes self-care along with healthy lifestyle behaviors the norm in your organization. And it starts by us walking the talk. But other really important points of a wellness culture and fostering that is regular doses of vitamin G, giving those out. I always say, take and give a dose of vitamin G every day. It's the best evidence-based practice to improve your team's mood, their mental well-being. The other concept that's super important is this concept of mattering. If your people believe that they matter to your organization, they have much less burnout and improved mental health outcomes. In all the national studies I've done with interprofessional leaders and people, my findings show consistently if people perceive they work in an organization and culture that supports their well-being, there is less burnout, less depression, less anxiety, and ultimately that's going to lead to less turnover because what people perceive influences how they feel and how they behave. The best thing you can do for your organization is create a fabulous culture of well-being where healthy lifestyle behaviors are easy to do, where people feel appreciated and they are told that they matter. Once you do that, you're going to see a skyrocketing improvement in people's well-being as well. as their engagement and productivity.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that challenge and challenging me and challenging the listeners as well. All right. Well, as we conclude, you have given us so many tips and helpful strategies. But if you have three or a couple of more that you want to give to the listeners, please feel free to do that now, or if you want to leave us with any closing remarks or thoughts.
I do. I was 15 years of age, growing up in a small little coal mining town, Western Pennsylvania. My dad was a coal miner. We lived in half of a little company house. We struggled financially, but I was born with rose-colored glasses on, and I still can make lemonade out of lemons any day. But my whole world shattered on a cold January day when I was 15, home alone with my mom when she sneezed, stroked out, and died right in front of me. Now, I've suffered, as you can imagine, with post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety. But the saddest part of this story, my mom had a history of headaches for over a year. And my dad kept saying, "Please go to the doctor, figure out what's wrong." She went to her family physician 1 week before she died. Diagnosis: high blood pressure. Given a prescription for a blood pressure medication that my dad found in her purse after she died. I want to just say in closing, cardiovascular disease is still our number one killer. But if you take into consideration all causes of death, our behaviors that are the number one killer. If you don't do it for yourself, take better self-care. Think about who in your life that loves you, that wants you to be around a long time. So, bottom line, if you don't take time for your today, you're going to have to take time for chronic disease or death later.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Melnick, for that. That was very helpful and very informative to our viewers. I just want to say thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The Leadership Podcast is produced by The Ohio State University's Office of Faculty Affairs. For more information, visit us at faculty.osu.edu. I'm your host, Capriya Johnson. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.